How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys Alex and Ryan to recap the doubleheader today. Now, the Yankees won one of the games, 12-6. Demolition job once again. Another spring training win there. The other one, 0-4, 4-0, going to the Phillies. And we only had one hit thanks to Greg Allen, but the 12-6 win certainly had a lot of highlights. We want to talk about Juan Soto with an absolute piss missile, George Lombard Jr. with a home run. A couple guys got on the board here and showed some really nice upside. And we're excited to talk about kind of Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, how they looked in their first appearances of spring training. A lot to go through, Ryan. But before we dive into it, how do you do today, my friend?
I'm doing excellent. You know, I think when you kind of script the home opener for the New York Yankees, they play in their pinstripes, right? Like, that's the only game they do that for in spring training. It is a big deal for them. It's a big event. It's the first Yes broadcast. I mean, it is usually the biggest event the Yankees have prior to, you know, obviously the regular season. And, you know, it serves as a way for us to get reacclimated back with the New York Yankees. You know, they had Michael Kay and Jack Curry on the call. It was a big deal. And it was an even bigger deal because Juan Soto was making his first start as a New York Yankee. And I mean, to say the very least, he made a very notable and a very memorable introduction. In his third at bat, he ends up absolutely crushing a baseball off the scoreboard. And look, I'm not going to sit here and again take much stock into spring training and tell you guys about how awesome the team is because they're playing well in spring training. But what I am going to say is when you see Juan Soto hit a ball 428 feet to the left field, as a left-handed hitter, he hit it the other way, 110 miles an hour. It was a pitch up and away, and he just took it there. And, you know, you just start kind of daydreaming about what a duo of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge is going to look like for 162 games. Now, I know that the New York Yankees, again, like, you want to see them in the regular season. That's kind of when we'll start judging them and start, you know, really making some observations. But, you know, in terms of the things that really impressed me today, you had, again, that Juan Soto home run. I think Rodon looked really good. I know he gave up a home run to end that outing, but it was on a cutter. It was a pitch he was experimenting with. That was something Aiden and I talked about in a previous podcast previewing this weekend series or these weekend slate of games. And then another, I think a big storyline here was some of the Yankees' young prospects. Obviously, George Lombard Jr., their first-round pick in the 2023 draft, ended up going yard. He hit his first home run. Opposite field job. Wasn't a nuke necessarily, but it's a very impressive piece of hitting to see, you know, him go the other way like that. He is only 18 years old. So if you guys think, oh, I'm a young buck, he is younger than I am. He is almost a year younger than I am. So that's a little bit weird to say. It pertains to the other first round pick we get to see for the Yankees, Spencer Jones, who obviously hit a ball 470 feet. And Alex, you and Aiden got to talk about that yesterday. He had another pretty good showing. He had a single that probably shouldn't be a single, but he had another looping single and a walk. He is yet to swing and miss, Alex. And look, I'm not going to put a lot of stock in, like, what? I think it's like 40 something pitches. That's nothing. And that's not even factoring in just your swings. Like, not swinging and missing at a ball is not really that impressive if you don't swing. But he's looked pretty good. He's looked pretty poised and pretty polished. And, you know, ultimately looking at kind of how that game played out, that home opener was just as exciting as it gets. It lived up to the hype. I was kind of shaken before the game, a little nervous. And I don't know, Alex, I just feel like that game, it really lived up to the thrill and the hype of a home opener and Juan Soto's debut game.
Well, we talked about it before. We were like, if Juan Soto hits a home run in this game, it'll be awesome. Kind of a preview to what the regular season holds. Again, like, we're going to keep as little stock as possible in spring training games, but we'll talk about the positives and upside that we did see. You know, Verdugo had a hit, led off with a double, which is great. Obviously, Soto, three RBIs, two hits, and a walk. I mean, his patience, you can really see it. Like, as, you know, Yankee fans, we don't get to see Juan Soto that often prior to this season. And, you know, watching him hit is something of like an art. You watch how he sees the pitches, how he reacts to the pitches, his confidence at the plate. It is bleeding through his jersey. Like, you can see everything is just operating at a high level, and he just really is super focused. And I think that level of discipline is going to be really fun to watch for this Yankee team, especially in a contract year in the Bronx. It's going to be special to see. Then right behind him, of course, you have Aaron Judge, which, if you're an opposing pitcher going through Soto and then Judge, like, God help you. That is just not fair to anybody. And Judge, right after Soto walks in the first inning, was it? You know, hits a double to center field or a single to center field, and you're like, okay, like, every time Judge gets up to bat, like, you just assume he's getting on base, which is really fun, obviously. But, you know, Rizzo looked pretty solid at times. He had a hit in the game. Gleyber Torres had two RBIs. So, you know, we like to see that from him. Ben Rice got a little bit of action. Hasn't done much lately, but getting some, definitely getting a little bit of playing time is good to see. He's been playing first base, so look to see a lot more of him in the coming days. DH Luis Torrens, probably someone you've never heard before, has 2 home runs in 2 games. So love to see that. The Yankees finished with 12 hits, obviously 12 runs on the day, 11 strikeouts. But, you know, there was a lot to see. And then Spencer Jones, man. I mean, come on. Spencer Jones yesterday had 3 hits, one of them a homer, 2 of them are RBI singles. Today, he had another 2 hits. The guy has been absolutely killing it. I mean, you can see it all over. He also had a walk aside from the 2 hits. So, you know, really impressive stuff by Spencer Jones. What are your thoughts about Jones early on? I know you didn't really get to talk about him yesterday after the game, but seeing him come back today, 2 more hits, how are you feeling about his distribution of production so far and just kind of what you've seen in terms of maybe the stuff that he has improved compared to last year?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me so far is he looks very disciplined. He's swinging at pitches he should be swinging at. He's being very selective. He's letting a lot of pitches kind of pass by. And look, let's be very clear here. You know, pitchers are going to throw a lot of balls early in spring training. A lot of these guys haven't gotten a lot of reps. So perhaps, you know, in a more, I guess, in a more game-ready environment or against a more game-ready pitching staff, you know, he'd see more looking called strikes or whatever. But I feel like he's made good swing decisions. I feel like he's done a good job. Again, if he hasn't swung and missed, right? That's kind of the big thing he struggles with. That's supposed to be the thing he's bad at, right? And again, it's a very small sample size, and I'm not saying he's not going to swing and miss a ton this year because he hasn't swung and missed so far in spring training, but it's encouraging, right? And I think there's a difference between saying, all right, I'm reaching a conclusion and I'm pulling data and from spring training and kind of, you know, making observations or whatever it may be. I think there's a difference between reaching a conclusion and just kind of saying, hey, this is awesome. I like to see this. You know what I mean? You like seeing Juan Soto hit a home run. It doesn't mean you think Juan Soto is going to hit 60 home runs this year because he hit a home run in spring training. And I'm not going to say Spencer Jones is going to be a star because he's looking good in spring training, but we all know the thing here with Spencer Jones is, what is his hit tool going to look like, right? And that's always been a concern and a question. And, you know, seeing it, you hope that it gets to the point that it's been at over the last 2 games, because, you know, we kind of have gotten a glimpse at what Spencer Jones could be if Spencer Jones reaches his potential, which is a very powerful hitter who, you know, kind of strikes fear into other hitters. You kind of think, you think of kind of the game power, right? Again, we just saw him hit a ball 470 feet. Not a lot of people could do that. And the ability to put the ball in the air and hit it that far, it's going to scare pitchers. You're not going to be as aggressive throwing pitches in zone when a guy can do that, especially when they can do it consistently. And a couple of other interesting tidbits, kind of, you know, looking at other guys who played today. You know, Luke Weaver kind of changed the mechanics. I don't know if you noticed that, but his leg kick is gone. And it's kind of funny that it looks like the comparison I'm going to make here because of how that ended up working out. But his leg, or like his mechanics, look a lot like Yoshinobu Yamamoto's. And it's a little ironic given the, like, the Yankees didn't end up signing Yamamoto. But it is certainly something I'll be watching. Again, I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier with Rodon and the cutter. I don't know if Carlos Rodon is going to be throwing a lot of cutters this year. Maybe giving up a home run is going to make him never throw a cutter again. A lot of guys open up and say, oh yeah, I'm trying this out in spring training. And then they throw it in game and they're like, this sucks. This is awful. I'm never throwing this again. You know, I think people put a little bit too much stock into new pitches in spring training. Like, I love watching them, don't get me wrong. I'm always very interested to see what pitchers are working on, because in a sense, like, more so than hitters almost, Alex, pitchers kind of change and tweak things all the time. And nowadays, it's a lot easier to measure these things. For a hitter, you can't really measure how good your swing is because you have to test it against live pitching. For pitchers, I'm not saying a pitch is good or not without knowing how it's going to work against hitters, but you can know if your fastball is moving the way it should instantly. You know what I mean? You can get instant feedback on it. I throw this fastball and the shape is good. All right, I'm good. The velocity is good. All right, I'm good. You know what I mean? And it's always interesting to see how they work. But yeah, I kind of rounding up my point here, I just felt like it was an encouraging game for the Yankees. You hope, as long as tomorrow Carlos Rodon wakes up and he's healthy, it's an A-plus for him, because that means he pitched, he struck out 5 guys, he threw 50-something pitches, 40-something pitches, excuse me, and he was healthy the next day. I feel that same way about Stroman, who I know he struggled a little bit against the Phillies. I don't care that it says 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, and 2 1/3 innings pitch. I care that it says 52 innings, and I care that he wakes up tomorrow and says, yeah, I feel fine. That's all I care about, Alex. Like, for at least veteran guys, it's all I care about. I don't know if you feel any differently.
Well, you know what they say. If you can't sign Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you teach Luke Weaver to pitch like him. That's our very cheap alternative, my friends. But, you know, you look at – you kind of referenced Carlos Rodon and Marcus Stroman. Again, I don't give a rat's ass how they perform right now. Like you said, the health is the most important variable, and it will continue to be throughout the regular season, not just right now. Of course, you want them to perform well, but, you know, staying healthy in spring training is essential. Live action, you know, feeling the jitters, you know, getting it out, you know, trying to get through some of those mental lapses. And obviously, Rodon, there was a point there where he could not throw a strike. He couldn't find the strike zone. His fastball was just kind of – he was doing it too high and away. And, you know, Carlos Narvaez goes out, you know, settles him down a little bit. I'm excited to see Rodon work with Austin Wells specifically. By the way, Carlos Narvaez, awful framer. Good God. Really bad at framing, man. There was a couple of balls that should have been strikes. If it was Jose Trevino behind the plate, I think we probably would have got those calls. But not very good in that regard, at least from what I noticed. And then Rodon, I did like from what I saw from him at times. He was attacking the high fastball, solid velocity, but he's an emotional player. You know what I mean? Like, you watch him out there and he's emotional and he's reactive and he sometimes gets in his own head. He gets angry and pissed off. And by the way, I think that's where Austin Wells is going to be a huge benefit for him, because Austin Wells is a calming factor. He kind of knows the aura. He knows the personality of his pitchers. And I think that he's going to help keep Rodon kind of relaxed and calm and following the game plan and chilled out. And, you know, I think that's going to be a really nice benefit, a nice balancing act for Rodon. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Carlos Rodon and Austin Wells get a lot of action together during the regular season. I know Jose Trevino probably will as well. They'll probably see who kind of acts better, but in terms of Rodon being kind of this emotional pitcher, they need a catcher who's able to reel that in, help him stay committed to the game plan. So that's something I am looking forward to watching those two guys combine, you know, on the mound and behind the dish. So when it comes to Marcus Stroman, look, he's coming off an injury toward the end of the 2023 season. Hasn't obviously pitched live since then. Not surprised he got beat up a little bit in this game. I know he had a couple of batters, like, I think he went full counts with them, like three or four straight batters in an inning. He was trying to get through these guys. He just couldn't get it over the hump. But, you know, another day, he gets a strikeout there. He gets a grounder, a pop out. Just unlucky in a lot of situations. We know Stroman's quality. We know what he can do. So I'm not overly concerned by any means, but I really am happy to see some of these prospects starting to shine early on. And the confidence is there against some MLB-level pitching. Spencer Jones, George Lombard, love to see our rookie. Basically, not even just a rookie. He's a rookie in the whole organization, not just as a MLB player, but, you know, he's far away from reaching the MLB. You know, just going to be starting maybe the Florida Complex League or whatever. So, you know, this is a player that has a lot of good tools, and we're excited to watch him develop. They've been really stashing these shortstops, these infielders, for quite a while now. Roderick Arias, if plenty of young talent there at those infield spots, but excited to see how the development grows. But, you know, anything else you want to add on? I know we saw a couple guys struggle. The pitching, the back-end pitching was not very good, but 12-6, that's really the game I'm focusing on. Other game, nothing really to write home about. I guess we could talk about Peraza for a second. He looked horrendous today. Peraza had multiple infield errors, known for his defense. That was disappointing. Struck out twice. Really was a non-factor offensively. Is that a concern for you? I know you're like, don't really care about the first, second spring training games. He could bounce back and have a great game tomorrow, but he's traditionally, over the last couple years, not been a great spring training player, and that is a little bit concerning to me, because he lost the starting job to Volpe last year because of how poor his spring training was, and then he picked up a hamstring injury. So are there a little bit concerns, or are you like, yeah, not a big deal, let him bounce back and we'll see where we go from there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not entering spring training with, like, high expectation of Peraza in terms of, like, what he's going to do for the major league team. He's interesting because he's young. And I don't mean that to sound dismissive of the player he can be. I'm not saying it's impossible for him to become a good player, but again, a lot of his value at this point comes from the fact that he's young and inexperienced, right? So I don't think the Yankees are going to play him very much this year if they have the option not to. He might be the utility guy, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Jack Curry mentioned that Peraza's probably going to be on their bench, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if Peraza... Like, I felt, and it's not because of spring training, it's just kind of a thing I feel at this point. I'm not sure if he's going to really ever get that shot to be the player that we hoped he could be. I think that spring training battle, it's funny because I remember thinking at the time, this certainly can't be the end of you know, a guy like Oswald Peraza. It ended up being very, very monumental. I mean, if he wins that battle and he wins the shortstop job and Volpe starts out in AAA, maybe the conversation is a little bit different. Maybe we just got to see him more. I don't know. But, dude, his stock, it doesn't look great for him because he's not going to win a job. He's not going to win the third base job. That job's already been captured by DJ LeMahieu. He's obviously not winning the second base job, and he's not winning the shortstop job. So he's battling to just kind of battle right now and playing to kind of just play right now. And it's... I don't know. I've kind of heard some conversations, over the last year that other teams are not as high on his defense, and that has caused some issues with the trade, with his trade value. So that's a little bit concerning and questioning, because I feel like he's always been a pretty good defender, but maybe teams view him differently, and that's something I've heard. I'm not trying to say anything, but just saying that. And then in terms of like other things that caught my eye. I mean, I actually was a little bit interested by this left-hander from who spent a lot of time in AA and AAA last year, and actually was somebody that Eli Fishman talked about a little bit when he came on the pod earlier in the offseason, Edgar Barclay. Edgar Barclay has been somebody that has never really caught a lot of attention because his stuff on paper doesn't look very good, because he's a left-hander who sits like 90 to 91, and that's not very impressive, but his changeup is really good. And typically, changeup first prospects do tend to overperform at the minor league level, and, they tend to put up better numbers than they should, and for that reason, you kind of have to take anything he does with a grain of salt. But I was very impressed by his aggressiveness with the changeup. He's left-handed, so his changeup will play very well to right-handed batters because of the vertical drop and the vertical movement off of the fastball. The four-seamer played pretty well. Like he had a 32% whiff rate, good amount of strikeouts, pitched well. He's a guy who's in AAA. He's left-handed. I wonder if the Yankees have any thoughts on him at all, like if there's anything they're able to work in with him. I think a cutter would do him wonders, just kind of like spitballing here. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there. And then they had a guy who they drafted in the 20th round, throw a slider with 26 inches of movement. So those are kind of all my notes. Like that's kind of everything I wrote down a couple things I noticed. That's really it. And shout out Greg Allen for making sure the Yankees didn't get no hit. Greg Allen is a Yankee hero. I don't know what it is about Greg Allen, but he kind of just like, he's always been a fun guy to watch on the Yankees. I can't explain it, man. Ultimately, everybody's healthy. Juan Soto gave us a little bit of a scare after that first swing. Dude, I'm not going to lie. First thought was Aaron Rodgers. Very first thought. That was the first thought I had. I was like, oh my God, he's hurt. Oh my God, what happened? You know what I mean? Like my heart sank. I was very scared. We can laugh about it now, but dude, I was like not okay until I saw him in right field the next inning. I don't know about you, Alex.
Yeah, that scared the crap out of me. The second I saw him like kind of go down and like twist his ankle a little bit, I was like, no. Look, the truth is in the forefront of my mind, I'm like, Juan Soto has played a lot of games for a long time. Like that little bit of a movement isn't the end of it. Like he's not going down. It's got to be something significant. You know what I mean? Like the guy's like Superman out there, knock on wood. So I felt like I wasn't too worried. I saw him run to first base and I was like, oh, if it was serious, he wouldn't have been able to move. So I was pretty like fine the second he started running to first base. So not worried about that. Obviously he's good. Thank goodness. And everyone seems to be escaping these games relatively healthy or healthy so far. Another knock on wood scenario there. Got to cover all my bases, obviously, on those. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comment section about these games, any standout performance, anything you want to discuss, want us to discuss tomorrow on the next Fireside Yankees podcast. Always happy to take your feedback and suggestions. Make sure to like and subscribe as always, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.